Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's Deir Bhilge. My name is James and I'll be leading us through our service today. You're welcome as you join us, whether that's for the first time or whether you do this on a regular basis. It's a bit weird and strange yet again with our buildings now closed. And so as I stand here today, it feels really strange once again not to have many of you around us. But it's great that we continue to worship together in this way. You'll notice behind me, the church is slightly different looking today. We'll come to that towards or later on in our service about why that's the case and show you maybe a wee clip of what happened here yesterday. So stay with us as well for that. Over my left shoulder, you'll also see that the Advent wreath has been lit. We are in the season of Advent, a season of expectation, of hope, and of waiting. A season whenever we prepare our hearts once again to receive Jesus as King in his coming back for us. We hear some words from the book of James, chapter 4 today and verse 7. It says, "Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you." A verse that really encourages us to draw into the presence of God. And so wherever we find ourselves this morning, for us here sending this service out live, for you sitting in your home, whether that's in Lisburn, further afield or across the world indeed, we know that God's presence is with us as his family. As a community of believers here gathering together, we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's draw close to him in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us in this place as we come to offer our hearts to you, as we take time just to pause everything else that's going on around us, to really focus in on you. We pray that what we do in this space and for this time will draw us closer into your very presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Calling God to be our vision is a wonderful thing to do. It sets him in his rightful place, where he is sovereign and in control, where we want him to take control of our lives, to cast a vision before us, to light our path as we walk our journey. Important element as we do that together as we come before him in an attitude of confession, confessing before him the things that we've done wrong, maybe even the things that we're not, haven't realised that we've done, but that he knows about, seeking his forgiveness, the only one who can truly forgive us. So let's pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing, cleanse us from our sin, renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins, and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalm that's appointed for today is Psalm 85. Maybe I want to try something slightly different with us today. Just to pause. Many of you will already be sitting, but maybe you want to close your eyes at this point or hold out your hands before you. As I read the words of this psalm, which once again is an encouragement to us to listen and to refocus on God. And allow these words spoken over you this morning to speak into your being, the very depths of who you are, that God's word would refresh, restore, and renew us. I will listen to what the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Father, prepare the way for our steps. Lighten our journey, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, I have an item with me, as I do often for our children's part. Today, the item is probably instantly recognisable in many ways. It's a Bible. That's right. Now, do you think this is my Bible? What do you mean, no? Oh, well, you're right. It isn't. This is my daughter's Bible. And she loves it, not only because of what's in it. Look, it's brilliant. Lots of different little characters and stuff in it, loads of different wee bits that she can learn from in it. Lovely flowers down the well, it's not the spine, but you know what I mean, the gild of it, and a picture of a butterfly on the outside of it. Isn't that lovely? Butterflies remind us as well of something that's beautiful, don't they? Something that takes time as a caterpillar to weave itself into a little cocoon, into a little comb, if you like, and take time before it can burst forth into the beautiful butterfly that it is to become. Reminding us that actually God's doing a work in us that sometimes we can't see at the minute. So that whenever he fully opens up all of our lives, it's not just part of us that's seen, but all of us is seen. The whole of the butterfly is now visible and beautiful, just like us. Whenever we allow God to do his best work for us and in us, we become the beautiful people that he intends us to be. As he lightens our path, as he straightens the way, as he looks after us, as he gives us a vision of what he has for us, let's be beautiful for him today. Let your beauty shine for him today. And we're going to hear God's word read to us now.
Today's reading is from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God."
Thank you, Johnny, for that. We're finishing our series of Whole Life Worship today. This is the fifth in our series, and you'll be able to look back over the last 4 weeks as well. You'll find all of those on our website, on our Facebook page, and indeed as a podcast as well, through a number of other channels, which you can look out for and subscribe to, and we'd love you to be able to do that. Over these weeks, we've looked at the fact that we are living sacrifices, that we give our whole lives to God in worship, that God can refresh our vision of what worship is, that it's not just how we sing as we gather together, because if it was how we sing in church, in a building, then that would be awful today because it's just me. You wouldn't want to hear that. So that makes us also reminded of the fact that church is not the building. We, you and I, are the church. And so as we gather together collectively to worship, it's with all of our lives. It's everything that we do. And whenever we do that, that transforms or ordinary actions, whenever we see that the little things in life, if you like, the things that we kind of take for granted, the washing of dishes, the changing of a nappy, the going to work, the writing of a report, all can lead to worship of the God that we worship. Because we do our work as if we do it unto the Lord. And last week we looked at the fact that our speech, what we think and what we say, the overflow of our hearts, what bubbles out of us, can be worship because it can stop people on their tracks by what it is that we say, how we encourage, how we challenge, how we refrain and keep silent. Today we're thinking about the fact that worship really focuses our hearts. It changes who we are. And in a biblical understanding, we talk about our hearts being transformed. We talk about receiving Jesus into our hearts. We talk about allowing God to move in our hearts. And sometimes it's a bit hard to kind of get our head around, because surely it should all be in our mind, because that's where our thought process goes on. That's where we disseminate things. That's where we think things through. But actually, the heart is the pump of the body, isn't it? It's the part that keeps us alive. And in biblical imagery, in a theological understanding, our hearts are the very core of our being. Because in one sense, it's what makes us who we are. Whenever our hearts are right, it changes what it is that we do and how we do it. See, our worship can become empty. And that's worship in this context, again, is not just about singing a song. Our worship, how we live our lives for God, can become empty. Whether that's as we gather or whether we're scattered as individuals. I wonder, how often have you appeared in the car park in your car, having maybe a fractious morning at home? Maybe something has irked you. And whenever you arrive into church, all of a sudden, everything, the face changes. In a sense, the way we would describe it, the mask goes on and everything's okay. It's perfect. Do you know, in one sense, I was having one of those mornings this morning before I came here. And so on my way here, I really had to change what my thought process was before I was able to enter in to this place to lead you today. See, if God is not at the heart of what we do and what we say, at the heart of our worship, then what's the point as Christians? Do you know, in a previous place, there was a lady who sang in a choir for many, 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 many years, faithfully every Sunday, but often would have rejected the thought that you need to receive Jesus personally. That was for fanatical. We were Church of Ireland, we weren't, and she would list a number of other denominations who were much more evangelical in one sense. And one of the most powerful moments in my life and my ministry so far has been to attend her funeral. And as her coffin was taken down the aisle for the congregation to sing the Nunc Dimittis, O Lord, now that thy servant has departed in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Because having been diagnosed with cancer a number of months previous, the Lord had really spoken into her heart. And she, by this revelation of the Spirit, had seen that moment where she needed to receive Jesus. And so actually, to sing a canticle over her that she had sung herself for so many years, rejecting the need, in a sense, of that salvation, was a very, very powerful moment. There were many, many tears in the congregation that day. The heart that needs to be right. Otherwise, our worship can become empty. See, it can look right. Everything can look okay. And in the culture that we live in our Northern Irish colloquialisms, if you like, whenever we meet someone in the street, we say, "How are you? All right." And we almost condition ourselves to saying "all right" all the time. And in a sense, that flows into our spiritual lives, and we believe that we're all right, but yet inside we're dying and decaying and becoming empty because our hearts are calloused towards the Lord. And like a house of cards, it can all come tumbling down rather quickly. And it can look as if it's failed really quickly from the outside, but from inside, it's been happening over a period of time. And that's where the danger is. And that's the note of caution and of warning that this passage from Revelation speaks into our hearts for today. See, you and I can be dry and empty on the inside, yet look really fresh on the outside. You can choose our church because of its style of worship rather than the community that it brings and the challenge that it has in pushing us forward in our journey. I don't know if you can relate to any of those last few things that I've said about being dry and empty on the inside, but yet putting on something on the outside that makes it look okay. I know I've been there at different times in my life. And it's taken almost an outside factor, like a sermon or a pastor or a friend, to come alongside me and to ask me those questions. And so maybe today the Lord's Spirit is speaking deep into your heart and is calling you, as we will hear in a moment, back to a right attitude and a right place with Him. See, the people of God have continually walked away from Him. You can see that through the pages of Scripture. They've always been close to Him, and then there's a moment of kind of falling away. Sometimes it's really quick, but mostly it's quite gradual, actually. And that's the danger, because if it's a gradual process, it happens over a period of time and we don't quite notice it until we're too far from the shore. And so God has to call them back. He has to call you and I back to Him. And this passage is no different. In some aspects, it is different. But in many ways, it's not different. Let's take a look at it. It's Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 2 first. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. You see, this is the angel speaking, the angel of God speaking into the church, one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And we're in the Advent season, we're thinking about Christ's second coming, and the book of Revelation is all about that. Don't get caught up in the imagery or the details of what it might look like. The important factor is that we are ready for His return. But this, the voice of this angel, the words of this angel to the church in Ephesus has something to say for us today. Because actually in verse 2 and 3, what he's saying is, look, on the outside everything looks okay. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. You can't tolerate wicked. You're standing up against injustice. You've persevered and endured hardships. So everything looks okay. You've done good stuff. Well done for some of the actions that you've been involved in. That's really, really good and necessary. But, there's always a but, isn't there? But, verse 4, yet I hold this against you, the Lord says. You have forsaken your first love. They've lost their first love. They've lost Jesus. That's what that means. They've lost their relationship with Him. They look good on the outside. Everything looks as if it's okay. But they've dried up on the inside. They're no longer worshipping Him with all of their lives. The facade continues. Somewhere they've missed a point. They've become complacent. Tradition has taken over. Time has gone by. And they've just allowed it to happen without realizing that it's happening. Until the angel steps in and says, stop. Stop. Maybe you and I, maybe we need to hear verses 5 to 7 today. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. In those verses, the angel calls the church of Ephesus back. And he says, look, repent. That's not a word we hear a lot, is it? Repent. Repentance is a complete turning around, a 360 turn. A complete turning around. It's a wiping off what has gone before, so we're back in our original place with God. What he's saying here is, look, whenever you first knew Jesus, you burned. There was a fire burned within you. You were passionate. You were on fire. You wanted to read his word. You wanted to sing worship songs. Your heart changed because you wanted to share him with other people. You wanted to tell other people what God had done for you. But over a period of time, the habits of life have set in, the busyness of family, of work, all of those things means that a complacency has set in, and now you're far from me. But there's always hope. God never leaves us hanging. There is always hope. Look at verse 6. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. In other words, deep down, we know, you and I, we know what's right. We know we need to turn to God. And we know how to do that. And so he says, he or she who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, if we repent and turn to him again today, if we make sure our lives are on track with him, no matter how dry or whizzled up inside we might feel, once we turn back to him, he refreshes and restores our soul. That's the promises of the scripture. As for the promises of this passage, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, the paradise of God. How beautiful is that image? So what do you need to do? Well, deep down, we probably know what it is that we need to do. Maybe you want to have a conversation with that. Maybe you want some help with that. Maybe you want to talk it through with someone. You know my details. You can find them all on our website or our Facebook page. Drop me a line or give me a call. I'd love to journey with you as God restores a vision of whole life worship within you. As he calls us individually and collectively as a church to refresh our vision of worship so that we would shine as a light, so that our lampstand would not be taken from us, but our light would shine ever brighter in Derevulgi. As we refocus our worship, our hearts gathered and scattered, so that his name is lifted high, that one, we might be rooted in love, that we might love one another, and we might go out in love to our community, to our friends, and to our family. As the scriptures say, you will know his followers by their love. And whenever we first, this passage called us back to our first love, whenever we first, our first love is Jesus, all those other loves can fall into place. How we love ourselves, our family, our friends, and our community. Because our hearts begin to overflow with the love that comes from God. Because that kind of worship enables us to see the world for what it truly is and the transformation that it needs. And in that moment, we can truly become his hands and his feet as we worship him with all of our lives. Maybe today is the day to ensure that no longer are we dry, but that we are refreshed. Maybe today is the day That no longer are we to continue with a mask that says everything's okay, but that as we fall on our knees before a God who knows us and loves us, we are restored as a child of His. Let's pray. So, Father, as we come today to think about who we are under You and for You, we thank You that Your love for us is never ending. Teach us to view our life here on earth as a pilgrim path, a journey. Give us the grace that we need to walk it courageously, to walk it together in relationship with each other, to set our affections on the things that are above, not on the vanities of this world. As we journey, we might journey towards holiness in increasing measure, bearing witness to who You are and what You have done for us. Teach us to value what You have given to us to the full, to remind us that we have but one life on earth to bring You praise and glory, and that life on earth is only the title page of our story. Teach us to use the gifts that You've given us with wisdom and generosity, to use our time carefully and effectively. Not to be a miser in our tithe or in our giving to You, that Your kingdom might grow and advance because of our generosity. And today, Lord, You might set a heart, a guard on our mouths, a door on our lips. Thank You for Your word today. A word that calls us back to You, our first love. Give us the courage and the tenacity to take some time today in quietness and in stillness to focus on You and to see where we truly stand with You. By Your Spirit, prompt us and convict us to come to You as our Saviour if we yet don't know You. Prompt us and convict us to refresh and restore our vision of who You are if we have become dry or weary. Lord, we thank You that our lives can be a worship for You. And whether we understand it, know it, or truly believe it, that as we worship You, our lives influence those around us. May we be Your hands and Your feet. May our whole lives be worship to You. May we be wholesome influencers for Your kingdom in this community. As we pray together, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you to all those who have been involved in ensuring that this service once again goes out today. A few quick announcements as we close. All our existing ministries continue to be online for the moment. I want you to keep a wee eye out just to see when we are back in person. We will be here in person, hopefully again next Sunday morning at 10:30, and indeed online at the same time. And so please keep a watch on our website and our Facebook page, because sometimes restrictions change at the last minute, as we know, and we have to change our plans. We're also hoping for our carol service next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock as well, but more details about that this week as well. DVK, Christmas Cracker celebration is happening this Friday night online. Our Deir Volga Youth is taking part in a couple of weeks in their Christmas celebration as well. We can't gather in person to do our Christmas dinner this year, but we are doing a takeaway version of it, and that's happening towards the end of this week. Hopefully, if you received information about that and you've booked for one of those to be delivered to you, are collected here. If you haven't and you want to, please do get in contact with us and we can try to sort that out for you. Trying to think through what else I have missed or not missed before I draw to a close. But all of these details are on our Facebook page and our website as well, where you'll pick all of that up. The last thing to finish with today is, I hinted at the beginning that the decorations, the church was decorated slightly differently behind me. That's because we had a wee wedding here yesterday of our deacon, Sarah and Daniel. It was a wonderful day, restricted obviously to 25 who will be with us in person. But thank you for all those who took part in making that a very special day. So we wish Sarah and Daniel all the best in their adventure and journey of married life that has now begun. We conclude today with the collect for the second Sunday of Advent. Father in heaven, who sent your Son to redeem the world, and will send him again to be our judge. Give us grace to imitate him in the humility and purity of his first coming. When he comes again, we may be ready to greet him with joyful love and a firm faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Stay safe and stay connected. See you soon.